Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie today, who's starting her July 4th weekend early, and I don't blame her one bit for that. You can join our conversation by phone or by text by calling 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Happy to get your calls or texts about the budget that Evers signed in the wee hours in the morning or the budget in Washington, D.C. that just passed today, that big, horrible bill. Or what we've been talking about over the last half hour, which is patriotism today on this July 4th weekend. How are you wrestling for the soul of our country, as the poet Adrian Rich put it? What is your level of ambivalence on this July 4th weekend? Love to hear from you and join us in that conversation. Meantime, Tom from Jackson on the bird front reporting a Carolina wren, which is a big wren. You might think that's a contradiction in terms, but as far as wrens go, it's kind of a big wren, and it's got an even more powerful sound than the little humble house wren. Carolina wrens, as the name implies, usually a wren of the southern United States, but comes into southern Wisconsin occasionally. I actually had a Carolina wren at my home just south of Madison 10 years ago when we moved in, and it was wintertime, actually, even more surprising. And I kept a little Carolina wren alive that cold winter, feeding it peanuts and live mealworms and suet. And so I think we've got the beautiful sound of the Carolina wren, courtesy of Jacob and Cornell University. Jacob, if you'd play that, that'd be great. It is that loud, too, when you hear it. That's the very loud broadcast of the Carolina wren. And now I've got happy news that Jim Santel has arrived safely in our studios in Racine. I'm at the Madison headquarters. He had a difficult drive out there, it seems. How are you doing, Jim?
Matt, I'm doing well. I cannot compete with the wren. I cannot compete with the wren, but I'll make it an effort. And I apologize to you and your listeners for being so delayed, but I suppose it's a good thing on an eve of our 249th anniversary that Americans are on the move and presumably going to visit with friends and family, places in Wisconsin and beyond. So again, delighted to be with you, my friend.
Oh, it's great to have you. For those of you who don't know, Jim Santel's a former federal prosecutor. His contributions to the Civic Media Radio Network are invaluable. His own hugely informative show, Amicus Alaraview, is live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Then it's rebroadcast on Sundays from 2 to 4. He's also a frequent co-host with Maggie on this great Maggie Dawn Show, prize-winning Maggie Dawn Show, on alternating Tuesdays and Fridays. He's on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every Friday morning. He's on the John and Gordy Show every Thursday morning, and Matt and Air on Air every Thursday morning a little bit after that. So they're making the most of you, Jim, here at Civic Media Radio.
And delighted to finish up my week with you and on this wonderful broadcast. Good to be with you again, Matt.
Well, thanks again. Let's start with the good news.
Yes,
And the good news was the abortion decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Lord knows we need good news. It wasn't exactly a surprise, but it was welcome nonetheless. Tell us about that decision.
Absolutely. This goes back, again, obviously, to many years of litigation, the wake of the Dobbs decision, which rescinded Roe versus Wade, 49 years of Privacy Act and privacy rights under the Constitution, comes back to Wisconsin. And a 150-year-old law here in the state of Wisconsin that forbade abortion. And the question was, in the wake of the rescission of federal privacy rights to abortion, what happens in Wisconsin? And again, a lot of litigation going up and down through the trial courts and the appellate courts, and eventually it reaches our Supreme Court, whereby a divided majority of the Supreme Court finds, at the pen of Associate Justice Rebecca Dallet, that the 1849 law no longer can apply, and for that reason, abortion is once again legal in Wisconsin. The predicates for that, of course, is she and the other justices look at the history and say all kinds of things have happened since the time of that legislation way back when, and she talks in particular about describing the who, what, where, when, why, and how of abortion, and says, you know, if a legislature makes all these decisions about how a particular right can be executed and exercised in this state, plainly the right exists, and that's the upshot of what they found.
Yeah, it was a welcome ruling. You know, I'd wish the Democrats, when they had power, had wiped that law off the books so there couldn't be any ambiguity whatsoever. And I also was a little surprised that the justices didn't deal with the question as to whether the 1849 law actually banned abortion, because that was one of the other arguments that right. Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Evers brought to the court. I thought it was an interesting argument, I thought that they might have prevailed that way, but they kind of decided we don't even need to deal with that one because we got this other one.
Don't need to get to that. And right, there's a good and compelling, not just a novel argument, that by its very nature, by its very language, that old law does not prohibit, and that's what one of the lower courts found as well. And again, the result is the result, and that's what we embrace, and frankly, on behalf of privacy rights and constitutional rights here in Wisconsin, in the wake of the 2022 Dobbs decision, it is a reaffirmation here in Wisconsin that right exists, and we're back in that position where not only privacy rights are affirmed, but also the rights of women, and I would offer men as well to make decisions about things that are important to their families. That is reaffirmed as well.
Yeah, that was the good news. The bad news was the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
The term just ended, obviously. To me, the most distressing decision was the one on birthright citizenship.
Yes.
Can you explain their decision, why they made it kind of surprising that Comey Barrett was the author
yes,
of it?
Right.
Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. So this one, again, we thought it was going to be all about birthright citizenship, this notion that somehow under the 14th Amendment, again, even though the Supreme Court has many years ago affirmed that indeed if you're born in this country, you are in fact a citizen of the United States of America. The president on his first day in office executes this executive order, says, nope, that's not what it means. If in fact you're the born of a mother who is illegally here or temporarily here, you're not subject to the jurisdiction of the country, and therefore you don't get citizenship. A stunning position, and people of all political ilks looked at that and said, no, that's ridiculous, and that's not the way that the amendment has ever been construed. Supreme Court takes this up and, interestingly, doesn't decide that issue and says instead that, again, that's an important point that people should know, that the executive order has not been affirmed. It hasn't been rejected, and they expressly say that, but go on to talk about this notion of universal or national injunctions. And that's, again, I think, Matt, that's the surprise of all of this, that Amy Coney Barrett, who at the time of the oral argument seemed to be moving toward a kind of a rule or some sort of a standard in between, where you'd say, okay, sometimes there are those fundamental constitutional rights where one federal judge can in fact impose an order upon all of us. Maybe there's some other things that are more regional, more local in nature. Those should not be a part of this. But she doesn't do that. Amy Coney Barrett, as you said, is identified by the Chief Justice as the author of this opinion. And she writes a definitive piece, and she basically looks back to history, and she says there's no predicate for these national injunctions, and for that reason they cannot stand. It is a stunning, stunning piece of writing by her, by the majority. And as you say, Matt, I think it is, I'm not alone in this, it is the most significant opinion of this term. It also stands as a bookend to what we observed just earlier this week, which is a year ago, the Supreme Court said presidents are immune from prosecution for many things committed in their offices and have to be muscular and strong and quick and deaf and do all these kinds of very active things. The bookend to that happened a week ago, in which the Supreme Court said, for the most part, federal district courts cannot respond to plainly unconstitutional things that this president does by issuing national injunctions, stopping them across the board. we got to do this piecemeal, they said. You got to go into federal district courts in particular areas, have to vindicate individual rights. Maybe you can do a class action, but it really does give a whole lot more power to the breadth and the strength of what this president and other presidents may do down the road. It is a change, once again, in how we have understood our Constitution, certainly a change in the way in which we have responded to things that our government does that we feel strongly are illegal and unconstitutional. That's the stunning part of it.
Yeah, it's Jim Santel. It's, you know, those two rulings combined, those bookends, as you put it, those are just giving a huge green light to Donald Trump and his administration just to go any speed limit they want,
right,
as fast as they want, to assault our constitutional rights. And this one is such a, as Justice Sotomayor said in her brilliant dissent, it's such a flagrant violation, facial violation, yes, of the 14th Amendment, that you would have thought that the justices, especially Comey Barrett, who seems reasonable,
right,
compared to the other conservatives there, would have just been aghast at someone saying, you know, the Constitution says X and we're going to say it says negative X, you know, that she would have gone along with this. And it is so alarming, the green light that the Supreme Court, and I blame Chief Justice Roberts, yes, above all, he wrote the immunity case decision, and he has power over some of his colleagues, I imagine, not all of them, but some of his conservative colleagues. It's just, it's a terrible legacy that he's carved out for himself, starting with Citizens United and ending with these two terrible,
right,
ones.
And as
the Dobbs decision,
right,
thrown,
right,
in on top of it.
Absolutely.
So it's
all
just
of
been
this,
a disaster.
Yeah. Right, right. And again, how wonderful it would be, Matt, my friend, if we'd go into Independence Day and say, you know what, at least this ridiculous notion that the 14th Amendment doesn't mean what it says and says what it means, that's been put to rest. And yes, bottom line, if you're born in this country, you are a citizen. Supreme Court not only did not answer that, but as you just accurately and articulately just codified, it gave us more confusion about how we go and vindicate that right and other rights. You know, Sonia Sotomayor, in her very good dissent, as you just said, identifies other prospects for, you know, a future president who does plainly unconstitutional things in an opposite direction. Maybe, you know, rescinding rights to own firearms or to practice your religion as you like, things that are plainly unconstitutional. Now you've got to go into your local federal district court and stop it, as to you and maybe a smaller group. In the meantime, everybody else still subject to an unconstitutional executive order of any president in the future. That's the continuing horrific legacy, and that's why we're going into the 249th anniversary of our nation.
How does that make you feel on this July 4th weekend, Jim?
Right, right. You know, it is sobering. It is very, very sobering. We'd like to think that there are justices, there are Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who are indeed articulating the opposite view. Every so often, the positive thing here is every so often one of those dissents becomes the majority years down the road. We'll hope for that.
Yeah, and we'll be right back with Jim Santel here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got another case to discuss. Please stay tuned.